Father, this morning we come to you. We come to you as your children. And we come to you as your people, the citizens of your kingdom. And we say, Lord, reign over us. We are not like those ones written in the parable who said they hated him. And they said, we will not have that man reign over us. But we say, Lord Jesus, reign over us. Every time we hear, every time we read, every time we understand, every time we believe, let your kingdom increase in us. For the increase of your government and peace, there shall be no end. Speak to us. Continue to teach us. We want to know you. We want to know more about how to live in your kingdom. How to fulfill your purpose. How to redeem our time. The little time that you have given us. So we commit ourselves, Lord, this morning into thy hands. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us. Open our ears, touch our understanding. Give us that spirit, your spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So I hope you have taken, or you did not put it on, your democratic cap. If you did, you can take it off and put on your kingdom attire. Okay? If you don't understand the kingdom, honestly, we will not understand the word. Once you start thinking king, the kingdom, your entire perspective changes. The entire perspective changes. Entire perspective changes. If you really want to experience it, a little of it, not the kingdom of God, how the perspective changes is, spend some money, go either to the nearest kingdom, that is called Bhutan, or not a kingdom, or go to Singapore. And you realize how you enter into either of these two places, how perspective changes. Either. Okay, just enter through the road with your... You need two paperwork, either your passport or your voter ID card to enter into Bhutan. The minute you enter, there will suddenly perspective changes. Or Singapore, when you enter, first thing written on the visa, drugs is punishable by death. Okay, you'll suddenly realize your perspective will change. Okay, now this is not about fear. But the fear of God is a different thing altogether. It's very clean. But when you think kingdom and start thinking kingdom, we will really start understanding life and the Bible, the Word of God. We'll understand the Word of God. Okay? So, we're getting back into the kingdom. That is only if you got out of it. If you were in the kingdom, we will continue. Remember how Jesus began on that mountain, which is called the Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew 5 verses 1 and 2. First, understand your approach. Seeing the multitudes, he went upon a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Okay, so I don't believe this was just the disciples alone, but also those who were seekers in the crowd came to him. Okay. So he will always do stuff like that. I don't know why he does, but he is the boss. He knows what he's doing to wean out the followers and the seekers. Because you can follow for anything. So he's weaning out the crowd. And you will see the Bible says his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and he starts teaching. Okay. So when you sit, even in your personal Study of the word of God, always approach with the mindset of a disciple. Look at another portion in the Bible. You will see this continues. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meanwhile, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another. Normally, we get excited. Wow, look at the crowd that has come for my meeting. Wow, they are trampling on one another. But he's not a politician. He's not a politician. Look at what's said. Trampled one another, and he began to say to his disciples, first of all. Okay. He only speaks to the disciples. He only teaches the disciples. Okay? So ask God, Lord, give me the heart of a disciple. Make me a disciple, Lord, so that you can speak to me. You can speak to me. The reason is he knows the crowd is not listening. The crowd. Even if they're listening, they won't understand. Look at verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. What is he teaching? What is this man asking? Did you understand? I hope you're not part of the crowd. You have come here with some other issue in your mind. If Jesus were to be actually here, you'd say like him, Jesus, would you please fix my husband? He troubles me every day. Or fix my wife. He says, just chill, listen. They are not listening. They are not listening. Go to verse 22. Then he said to his disciples. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Who's he talking to? To the disciples. Now go to verse 29. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Do you have an anxious mind today? As an act of faith, cast your burdens onto him because he cares for it. If you're anxious, that means you cannot fix it. If you can't fix it, what's the point of being anxious? Do not be. Have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. Your Father knows you need these things. And then, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus can say this for 2,000 years. The truth of the matter is this. In eternity, you will realize, looking at the bulk of the people who entered, the number who actually sought the kingdom in their life and finished will be very small. Very, very small. That's why he says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now he's not talking about entering. He's talking about inheritance. Your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay? So please understand that. The kingdom of God is a place. It's a place of incredible power. It is also the inheritance that is reserved for God's children. Where he will get authority, where he will get positions, where he will assign tasks to us for eternity, forever and ever. So when it comes to that, he says, little flock. So God is talking to us. God is speaking to us. How we live our lives. How can I live without fear? How can I live without worry? He's teaching us. He's telling us in this world how to live life with purpose. Okay. What is my position? Okay. These two things, your position and your purpose, will define everything. That's why I said think kingdom. Because this is how it works. In the kingdom, In the kingdom, this is how God makes his statements. Okay. In the kingdom, once you enter the kingdom, he says, your position is that of a king and of as a priest, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he says, you function over your own life. First over your, you're not trying to rule over others. You're trying to rule over yourself. The kingdom of God is within. So you function as a king and as a priest in the kingdom. But when you go into the world, you don't function as a king and a priest. You function as an ambassador. Somebody who represents that kingdom in that world. So get that position. That's your position. In the kingdom, you're kings and priests because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a priest because he is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And he's the king in Jerusalem because he's the king of peace. So you will see from Genesis onwards, these patterns are playing back. And what is our purpose when we go out in this world? Our purpose is one. Lord, use my life to bring reconciliation. That is the purpose. Jesus says, don't run after these things like the nations do. Because if you run after these things, you will tire yourself out. Literally, you will work yourself to death. When these things are actually free. The issue is this. When you do not know purpose, you do not actually know what you need. If you do not know purpose, you do not know what you need. Because what we actually need in life is connected with purpose. And when we do not know purpose, we just start going after everything and most of the things we don't need. And we waste our time. Remember the feeding of the 5,000, when he fed those 5,000 people plus others. And they were so excited for the wrong reason. They pursued him in boats and all. They came after him. Listen to what he says. In John 6 verses 26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me. Not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Simple. He says, everybody works. Everybody works. The question is not whether you work or not. The question is, why are you working? Are you working for things that are perishable? Or are you working for something that is imperishable? That's the question. What are you working for? It's a very serious question. What am I working for? Am I working for things that are perishable? Because everything in this world, if you're working for, is perishable. It will pass away. You will also pass away one day. God is saying, don't work for things which are perishable. Work for things which are imperishable. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? They understood it. They understand only the works of God are imperishable. That's why he's called the author and the finisher of our faith. And there are works which are designated only to faith, the works of faith. So what should we do to do the works of faith? And he immediately says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. He says that is the most difficult work. Every day to wake up and believe in him. And that what he said is true. That everything that he has said and he says is true. He said, that is hard work. That is hard work. To walk by faith is not easy. It is not easy. God says, that is the work you need to do. To believe the one whom he sent. So we see this playing out through the Bible. And we look at life. It's very simple. The Bible is very simple. Because it is written by God, and he's very simple. He's very humble. He's very meek. He's very simple. He doesn't complicate things for his children. Theologians complicate it. God makes it very simple. So he comes and he, if you look in Genesis 2, the beginning, and Genesis 3, the fall, the beginning of the fall, you will see all of life is divided into two things, work, relationships. He put Adam to work, and then he said, it is not good for him to be alone. So life is divided into work and relationship with God, with man. Genesis 3, fall happens, relationship with God gone, relationship with man gone, work becomes a curse. Okay? Work becomes a curse, relationships are cursed. So in salvation, making it very simple, things which we know need to be reminded, in salvation, Jesus is redeeming us from the curse. Both of relationships and of work. He's redeeming us. The first part is he's reconciling us back to God. And then he's restoring us back into the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, be careful. Don't go in the way of the nations. Don't go. We have entered, re-entered in salvation. We have entered back into the kingdom from where Adam and Eve were cast out. We have entered back into a relationship with God which they had lost. Adam was the son of God. Luke 3:38 says he was the son of God. He lost that. He was cast out. We are restored to sonship and we are restored back into the kingdom of God. Not to the Garden of Eden, but positionally, spiritually, we are restored. And then God makes life very, very simple to people who have entered into the kingdom. That's the words we've been looking at. Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, but seek first. We sang a song today. Which song was that which was connected to this verse? You are exalted above. You see? That's what it means. You are exalted, Lord, above all else. The songs we sing without understanding what it really means. Seek his kingdom first. It's very simple. We looked at last week or 2 weeks back. 7 principles in that one verse connected with this. And there are 3 other things over there. First, there is a king. There is a kingdom. And there is his righteousness. He said these 3 truths, if you believe and walk in it, it will change your life forever. There is a king. In Revelation 19 verse 16, he is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the question is, if he is the King of Kings, who are the kings? If he is the Lord of Lords, who are the lords? Us. We are kings of our own lives. King is somebody who determines the destiny of whatever he has been given domain. Okay. So I have domain over myself. That is what my free will means. Okay? So if I am actually where the Spirit is Lord, what do you have? What do you have? What is the other word for liberty? Freedom. Freedom. Kingdom. Freedom. Meaning that is the domain of liberty. That's what the word freedom means. That's what the word freedom means. Fiefdom. Kingdom. All these are connected with the domain. And God says, I made you king of your life. I give you the right to choose. And life and death is in the power of your tongue. You look into your word. You come under me. You can be a king. You can be the Lord of your life. You don't have to allow the enemy, this world system, the ideologies to determine your destiny. You can determine your destiny. Remember, you are only a king. I am the King of Kings. So stay under me. Remember, you are only a Lord. I am the Lord of Lords. So there is a king. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has a kingdom.
among many kingdoms in this world and the enemy's kingdom, he has a kingdom. And the Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 15, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. So that's how you have to think, oh, when I got born again, I entered into a kingdom which actually rules over everything else. I'm not part of a kingdom that is passing away. I'm part of a kingdom that will never pass away. Not only that, I am part of the kingdom that rules over everything else. And the third thing he says is seek his righteousness. Be right with him always. Today, we have another opportunity corporately to come and to be right with him. That's why this is kept. The beginning of every month. Why? Start right. First Sunday. Why we keep it first Sunday? Start right with God. Have a right relationship with God. Put it right with him. So that you need to be right with the king in the kingdom. You can be wrong with everybody else in the kingdom, but don't be wrong with the king. Don't be wrong with the others too. But even if you're wrong with the others, if you're right with the king, you still will come through. You need peace with the king. As far as it possible within you, pursue peace with others. He says with many it won't be possible. But with God it's always possible. Always possible. So there is a king, there is a kingdom, and there is righteousness. And that is his righteousness. Romans 1:17 says very clearly, for in it, what is it? In the gospel of the kingdom of God, because the previous verse is talking about the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then to the Greeks. So in the gospel, what is revealed? It is revealed, the righteousness of God is revealed. How? From faith to faith, as it is written, my just shall live by faith. That's why we talk about faith. Why? Faith. Why is faith so important? Because when you and I walk, live by faith, we declare the righteousness of God. We declare God is righteous. And God is pleased. That is how you should ask, why should faith please God? Because it declares the righteousness of God. It declares God is righteous. That is why faith pleases God, because it is declaring God is righteous. So understand these concepts and we shall move, okay? So everything in life has to be re-examined always in the light of the kingdom. This is the first kingdom, the final kingdom, and the all-powerful and eternal kingdom. So if you go to Matthew 6:33, okay, 33, but seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be. Did you see math in the Bible? Did you see math here? Addition. In the kingdom, addition works differently. There's a principle of addition in the kingdom of God. It's not the math you learn in school and college. It's completely different. He says in the kingdom, the law of addition is completely different. He says it's he who does. He says if you try to add, you will waste your life trying to add things which are actually free. And most people live their lives trying to add things. He says don't live like that. He says get the kingdom. Why? Because he says in the kingdom, you own nothing. The king owns everything. I possess nothing. I own nothing. So if I don't own anything in the kingdom, what is that I have? He says you have access to everything in the kingdom which is connected to you with the king's purpose in this time on earth. You have access. You don't possess. Remember the news came to Nehemiah from Jerusalem and he wept and he cried and he fasted for many, 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 many days and he was praying and one day he's standing before the king of Babylon. He's the cupbearer to the king and one day the king looks at him and says, what is this? Your face looks downcast.
And he was scared and he quickly prayed to God. And then he said, this is the reason. My father's city, my forefathers, this is all he said, gave the whole thing. So the king asked, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? He says, I want to go back. How long? He said, this time. And I want to rebuild. Made his purpose clear? King said, okay. Then he looked at the king and said, my king, I'm going for this purpose. You've given me permission. Now please give me access to the resources. Send soldiers all the way. When they meet different kings which are under you, I have passage to timber, everything to need the wall. Did you get the pictures? You have access. But we need to know purpose. If we don't know purpose, we'll be always chasing things, working our lives out, ultimately dying working. Because God said, these were all meant to be added. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Remember the story of the prodigal son? The day he asked his father, I want possession. I want to possess. Father said, take it. He was on the road to losing everything. When he came to his senses and he came back, what he got back was access again. Don't try to possess anything. You try to possess anything, you will lose it all. The kingdom, we don't possess anybody or anything. We only have access. But to have access, please understand, like I said, you have to change the way you think. Absolutely change the way you think. Because otherwise, what will happen is, we'll waste our lives away. Waste. And then one day, we will be facing with the word that we face in the world, which is called retirement. Then we will not know what to do. While in the kingdom, there is no word called retirement. Even on the last day of your life, you will sit up in your bed and bless your four sons and decide their destiny for centuries to come, because you have become a kingdom person. You didn't retire. Understand how it works. Okay? Because like I said, I have these two WhatsApp groups. One, my hostel group from the 80s and my class group from the 80s. And all I hear is grumblings from retired people. We are not looking at the principle of addition. That's a kingdom principle. We will look at it. We will look at it. Because before you look at it, you need to discover purpose. Because everything is connected with purpose. Okay? We had a question yesterday and we used the illustration, which is easy for you to understand. Like in December, we'll have the season when a lot of people from Andhra and Telangana go to a temple town in Kerala. That's when the Mallus laugh all the way to the bank at your expense. Ramba, they said temple where men go. They are clad in black and all that. And then finally when they go, they go by bus, train, all kind of thing, fly. Even if you go to the airport, you call them Sami. Sami has got one thing on his head and the flower and a small bag. You need to ask him, how come you are going with only this small bag? Because he knows what purpose is going. He's not going to live in Kerala. He's going for a particular purpose. So according to the purpose, he needs only this much. So if you know your purpose, you will know what you need. And all those things will be added. God said, I will add it. It's not your job. I will add it. Okay. So today we will look at another principle in the kingdom of God. Another. Remember, we call it keys. I give you the keys of the kingdom. What is a key? Key gives you two things. One, it gives you power. Key gives you power. Second, it gives you access. So in the kingdom of God, a key is a principle. A law, a principle.
But you have to believe it and apply it. Okay? Sometimes you try to open the lock and the lock is not opening and you look at the key and say, is it the right key? And I say, all right, this is the right key. You have to try it for some time and then it opens. So don't try a principle one day and say it didn't work. Because if it is in the Bible, it is true. And it is an eternal principle. And it comes with the backing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay, so today we are looking at one principle or one key. Go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught us to pray. Okay. So they are coming and asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. So the first thing we need to realize is we need to be taught how to pray. We need to be taught how to pray. Okay. So before we learn how to pray, it's only one small portion we will touch today. The first question we need to ask is, why should I pray? Why should I pray? Because it's a question people ask. Because you say your God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere. He's omniscient, he knows everything. Then why should I pray? Sounds logical, right? Sounds very logical. An all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. Why should we pray? The answer is, you need to go to the beginning. In the beginning, when God created, in the beginning, that's how the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the invisible and the visible. The invisible and the visible. By now, you should know, it is the invisible that controls the visible. Do you believe? Can you prove it? You can prove it. Anybody sitting here, if you use your mind, don't let it take a vacation. If you use it, you can prove. Let me ask you this question. Can you see your soul? Can you see your mind? Can you see your will? Can you see your emotions? What brought your body here? Your mind, your will, and your emotions brought your body. What was invisible is controlling your visible. Everybody sitting here, what is invisible is controlling the visible. So the outer man, the visible one, is passing away. That is not the point. The earth is passing away. All the visible things are passing away. That is not. And we are part. Our outside is a part of the visible creation. It's passing away because of the fall. The question is, what is happening to the invisible one? So I'm not preaching to your faces. I'm not preaching to your bodies. I'm speaking to your soul. But your body is the one which is telling whether your soul is listening or not, or you're fallen asleep. Chandana? Because your body, especially your eyes, the Bible says, is the mirror of the soul. Okay? So I'm not speaking to your bodies, I'm speaking to your soul. The invisible controls the visible. So that's how God created. And then, in the beginning, after he finished 6 days of creation, then on the sixth day, towards the end, we are not very sure, but in Genesis 1:26, which is the defining verse in the Bible about man. The defining verse of man in the Bible, what God said first about us. Remember, whenever the king speaks, it becomes the law. Doesn't take it back. Because his righteousness is connected with that. Even if he's a drunk king in the world, a girl comes and dances and in his drunken stupor, he says, up to half a kingdom. The girl goes, asks her mother. Mother says, get the head of that prophet. And she comes and says, I want John the Baptist's head. And the king could not take back his word. Because of all the people, then he will say, you are a man who does not keep your word. Your righteousness is connected with your word. That's why God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't be in rash in making vows. So when God speaks, he doesn't take it back. It becomes the law. It becomes the law of this kingdom. So the first thing he says is, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And then he says something. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. He says, let them have it. Now, can he take it back? If he takes back, he's not righteous. Okay. This is the defining words about humanity in the Bible. So we were made in his image. What is his image? Now we understand his image is holy. His image is righteous. His image is loving. That is his image. We were made in his image. Adam was made in his image. What is his likeness? The triune God is one. They are three, but one. And we look into yourself and says, yeah, it is true. After I got saved, I have a spirit, I have a soul, and I have a body. I am three, but one. The Bible says, when Christ appears, he shall present us blameless in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. Three in one. In his image, in his likeness. What was his purpose? To exercise the dominion of God on earth. That was his purpose. God is the King of kings. You are the king. Exercise dominion. How was he supposed to exercise dominion? You come to Genesis 2 and verse 7. You will see, unlike all the other creation, why is man different? The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So is everything else. But what did he do the difference? He breathed into his nostrils. How was he supposed to establish God's rule on earth? Through God's spirit. It was through God's spirit he was supposed to establish rule, subdue, control, build this earth through God's spirit. So when man disobeyed, what he lost was he lost the spirit. When we were born again, what we received was the spirit back. So please understand this. God is spirit. Only spirit. God is spirit. Angels are spirit. Demons are spirit. We are bodies. With the spirit inside, visible and the invisible. The problem is, earth is not given to the spirit beings. Earth is given to us by law. Psalm 115 verse 16, we're just recapping some things. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man. Understand that? So even if Satan has to come and do his mischief, he needs a body. That's why he got into the snake's body and spoke. I personally believe, and I do believe that Narnia was actually is true, that before the fall, all the animals could talk. Animals could talk, communicate to man. When the fall came in, they lost that capacity. Because there is no surprise when the snake speaks to Eve. Who are you? I never heard of snakes. You're nothing. Very normal. Very normal over there. Okay. But the snake, into the snake, because a Satan being a spirit needs a body. That's why demons try to get into human bodies. And when Jesus is casting out that legion from the man, they're still looking for another body. And they said, send us to the pigs. And pigs had much more sense than human beings. They said, we don't want to live with them. We'd rather kill ourselves. And we happily live with the demons for years and years and cut ourselves and do all kinds of crazy stuff. The pigs said, no way. Either we live or we die, but not with them inside. So, we need to understand when man fell, God had two choices. As King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he had two choices. Either destroy them all. Destroy this whole thing. Recreate a new species. Choice number one. If he does that, everybody will say he's holy, he's righteous.
But the problem is he loves man. That was the problem. The problem was that he loves man. So then they will say he's holy, he's righteous, but he's very unloving. Unloving. And he loved man. So option number two was that he redeems man. But to redeem man, God has to come as man. He cannot come as spirit. Because earth is given to man. Understood? So this is why we will see God is always looking for a man. Ezekiel 22:30-31. I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. And when he finds no one, what does he have to do? Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. He said, you see, how many tragedies can be averted if God were to find one person? Many tragedies are not averted simply because there is no man. No man. He says, I was looking for one man who would stand in the gap and intercede, who would pray. One man. Because we are looking at first, why should we pray? Because if we don't pray, tragedies will continue. If we don't stand in the gap, the only thing God can do as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is to bring forth judgment, after judgment, after judgment, allow judgments to take place. But he says, if there is one man, all it takes is one man. That's why in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, these individuals are mentioned. Abel is the first man who stands in the gap to make reconciliation. After that, God has to wait 7 generations to find another man who's called Enoch. So between the first generation and the 7th generation, if you read the account in the book of Genesis, what do you read? Born, live, died. Born, live, died. Born, live, died. Why? Because there is no man in the gap. Nothing is happening. Then the 7th generation, one man comes. Then comes a Noah, 10th generation. Then comes Abraham. So these are all people who stood in the gap. Why? Because God needs a man. The question is, now we understand God needs a man. The question is, will you be that man? Will you be that woman? Will you be that child? Who will be that man? Or will you run after the pagans do, running after the things which are all free and waste your life and destroy your life running after it? Or will you be the man and be that man? I will add all the things you need. That's what you need to realize. That is what you are supposed to be where you are. Wherever God has placed to be, you are supposed to be that man, that woman. That one man. If you have doubts, look at one very interesting portion in the Bible, in the book of Exodus. Okay, Exodus chapter 3 is very interesting, 4 verses. The Lord said, I surely have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, okay, all the ites. And the termites. Okay, 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression with which Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people and children of Israel out of Egypt. Did you see the contradiction? In verse 8, he says, I have come down. In verse 10, he says, you go. Because I can't go. You have to go. I need a man. And because this man was reluctant and was not ready, God had to wait 80 years to get this man ready. God is looking always for a person. Please understand this. Don't work for God. Work with God. Don't work for God. The Bible says we are co-laborers with God. So one man is sent to Egypt. The brothers sold him. But heaven's perspective is completely different. God sent him.
God sent him. He's in Egypt, like you, in the secular realm, in a workplace called Potiphar's palace. He's a slave. What is written there? God was with him. He's working with God. What is written about him in the prison? God was with him. That's what you should do every morning when you wake up, tomorrow morning when you go to God. Lord, come with me. Anoint me, Lord. I'm not working for a salary. The reason I am at my workplace is not a salary. I'm a kingdom person. And I need that anointing. I need you with me. I need you with me. Because I know my purpose, Lord. You have put me in this office. You have put me in this college. You have put me here, oh Lord. I am born again. I have entered the kingdom. I understand, oh Lord. You need people everywhere to be your witness. Come with me, Lord. Work through me, oh Lord. I'm not working for money. If your job is all about a salary, you are the most miserable person on earth. More than the pagans. That's why the Bible says, if in this life alone we have hope in Christ, you are the most pitiable of people. Because you haven't discovered purpose. Work harder than others, but don't work for a salary. Don't work for a salary. You have a purpose. We don't work for God. We work with God. We work with God. So the thing is that God is saying, I need a man. You are that man. I've come down. Now you go. So if you go through the Bible, what is the Bible actually about? It's the stories of men and women who made themselves available. Lord, work with me. And what did God do? God wrought a great deliverance through these people. Ultimately, the paradigm comes. That is Jesus. Jesus comes and says, I'm here. And my Father is with me. He has never left me. The reason I have come is to fulfill my Father's purpose. And everything that I need in this life, he will add. Down to the grave I will need after my death. I don't have to buy it. It will be given to me free. Then he looks at his disciples, whom he sent with the kingdom purpose for 3 years. He asked them one final question. When I sent you with nothing, did you lack anything? They said no. They said no. So even this morning, when you are listening, we have a choice to make. How will I love? How will I live? So what is prayer? Prayer is man on earth asking heaven to intervene. Simple. What is prayer? Prayer is a man or a woman or a child on earth asking God, asking heaven to interfere in the affairs on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. How? As it is in heaven. That's what prayer is. Very simple. But not most people's prayers. Most people pray like pagans. It is to bring back the rule of God back onto earth. Okay? So why do we need to pray? Because it is not God cannot, but God will not. The difference between, oh, why should I need God? Cannot? Of course he can, but he will not. He will not. But when we do, please remember, when it is aligned to his will, prayer has power. The power to change lives, to give you rest in the midst of your storms. It literally has the power to change history. So now let's go to Luke 1. Luke 11 and verse 1. This is not about why. It is about how. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to? They're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay. Do you want me to continue? The reason is, if I continue, you are responsible for what you receive. Not me. I'm responsible for what I have received. The kingdom of God, the knowledge is a very dangerous thing.
In the world, it doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, knowledge is a very dangerous thing because you are responsible for the knowledge you receive. Okay? So they are asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. So, simple. We all need to know, we're still learning how to pray. So in anything with the kingdom of God, when God says something, we know in life there are do's and there are don'ts. Right began in the Garden of Eden. You can eat from all the trees. Don't eat from that tree. This is all do. This is don't. And like children, they went for the don't. Okay. So we will look at the do's and the don'ts. But let us begin with the don'ts. Because Jesus begins with the don'ts. So we will go there. Matthew chapter 6 verse 5. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, on the corners, on the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. He says, don't pray like them. Don't pray like them. What is it? Don't pray for people to hear you. Always pray for God to hear you. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be an actor. Hypocrite, let us use the word actor. Because hypocrites were the original Greek drama. They were called hypocrites. They were actors. They were acting a role. He says, don't act in my kingdom. In my kingdom, it's not a drama. It is life. Don't be an actor. Don't pray like them. For people to hear. If you have doubts, listen to the prayers they pray, the Archbishop of Canterbury and all at William's wedding and the funeral and all. These are all prayers which are actors pray. None of them have a guts in a situation like that to pray from their heart. I remember many years ago when I was much, much younger, okay? Now I'm much, much younger. Then I was much, much younger, okay? I think Chandrababu Naidu was the CM of United Andhra Pradesh. And the Christmas dinner the CM gave. No, he does these things. CMs do these things because they need votes from everybody. Okay, so. And the pastors were all called. And that day, Pastor Stubbs was there. And they asked him to pray. Pastor Stubbs was a very wise man. He knew this is my only chance. You never know when you will get a chance like this. So he prayed for 5 minutes and gave the gospel in that prayer. So that when I stand before God, this man cannot say, I did not hear the gospel. Okay. He was not a hypocrite. He was not a hypocrite. He did not act there. Oh, most bountiful God, full of mercies, bless our CM, prosper our land, land got divided. He didn't pray like that. He said, Lord, this is Christmas season. You sent your son because we were all sinners. There is no other name under the heavens but the name of Jesus. But everyone who repents and calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Lord, I have proclaimed your gospel. We are not actors. He says, don't be an actor. So the first thing, don't be a actor. First, don't. Don't be a actor. 6-7. Second, don't. When you pray, do not. Don't use vain repetitions as heathens do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Actually, if you listen, forget the heathens. If you listen to Christians praying, you will think their God is a retard. Actually. If a child is slow in learning, we have to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. In so many different ways we have to repeat. Is God that? He says, why do you make all these repetitions? Stop for a minute. How is your prayer? Beginish. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Please don't pray like that. Don't pray like that. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't use words, unnecessary words which you don't mean. Remember to whom you are speaking. 6:8, third don't. Therefore do not be like them. Why? For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. He already knows. He already knows. So He says, I know everything anyway. At least tomorrow when you come to pray, try to surprise me with something which you think I don't know. Your Father already knows. See, if we get these don'ts correct, we can keep a pen and rule out so many things in our daily prayers. He says, I already know what you need. Fourth don't, James 4:3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Hey, remember. This is a king, this is a kingdom, and you're part of that. Don't ask for things to spend it upon yourself. You will not get it. And if you got it, you wouldn't want it. Like the prodigal son got it. Years later, he wished he had never asked it. He says, be careful. You ask wrong. Check your motives. When you pray something, why do you want it? Lord, I beseech you. I need this. God says, how does it affect your relationship with me? How does it advance my kingdom? Ask these two questions. If I were to answer this prayer, does it affect your relationship with me? Does it advance my purpose in your life, in my kingdom? If it doesn't, you're asking wrong. That's why you ask and you don't receive. He says, don't ask wrong. Get the kingdom and get the purpose. So the question is, then how does my prayer advance the kingdom? I have to know what is the king's interest. You see, there are many ambassadors in Delhi. Okay, imagine the ambassador of the U.S., sends a request to the State Department. I want you to release $5 million for this. And they will ask him, how does it advance the purposes of US in India? He has to break it down. No, I want to go on a vacation. They'll just shut up and do your job there. How does it advance? Because you are interested in the king and his purpose. He says, whatever you need, I will add. So your prayer, don't ask unnecessary things. So what is the do? First thing, Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. Not if you pray, when you pray. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What is the first thing God says? First thing, please remember. Prayer is based on a personal relationship. That is what it means, secret. Your prayer is based on a relationship. In the kingdom, you cannot pray if you don't have a relationship. And you have to maintain that relationship. One-on-one. We have corporate prayers. That is different. That's completely different. Completely different. That has got to do with other things. It's got to do with the power of agreement. But personal prayer comes first. In personal prayer, he says, that should define your life. In Matthew 18:19, the corporate prayer of this thing says, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for my Father in heaven. So it's got to do with heaven and earth. So corporate prayer is always got to do with agreement. That is why in the template given for the church, this is only a template. Please remember, the Lord's Prayer is only a template. We'll come to the Lord's Prayer. It's only a template or a format. That is not a prayer. So if you keep on praying that prayer all your life, nothing is going to happen. Like in the book of Acts 2:42, it is written, and they gathered daily for the apostles' doctrine, for fellowship, for judgment, and for prayer. That's a template. That's a format. He says, into this you should build your church. But these four things should be there. This is the core around which everything should be built. So when Jesus says, this is how you should pray, he will only give us a format. And people made the format into prayer. And entire life they pray that prayer and nothing happens. Because if you keep on repeating that prayer, you just have become a pagan. So God is telling us something here. The first thing he says, you need to have a personal relationship. And that personal relationship, you know, any relationship with God or on earth or with the devil is built on the time you spent with them. So if you want to have an intimate relationship with God, God says, come to me one-on-one and shut the door behind. The shutting this door means switch your phones off. Switch your phones off. During that prayer time, only. The phones are very useful things. As long as you're not on social media. Very useful things. A phone can save a life of somebody. So don't discard phone as an enemy. No, phone is just a means of communication. Communications have been used from centuries, from pigeons to runners to all kinds of things. Now it has become instant. So what is the purpose of it? So that we are able to communicate a need. Right? An urgent need can be communicated so that we can stand in the gap. So don't discard phone. It's a means of communication because work and relationship, both these things help. You are at a workplace and you're going through something and you put it on the church prayer group and says, pray for me. That's enough. One line, pray for me. Suddenly you do not realize 10 people, 15 people are standing in the gap for you and you suddenly see the storm passing. So don't disregard these things. But the purpose, God says first, have a relationship with me. Come in secret. Shut the door behind you. Take away all distractions. I'm telling you, the principle of first begins with prayer. If you begin your day with anybody other than God, your day is gone. Your day is gone. Other than God. Because already it showed in the spiritual realm, that person is more important to you than God. And God is second. And I told you that's a principle in the kingdom of God. God can never become second because he's always first. And most of our struggles in life is not got to do with the problems. It is got to do that God is not first. Therefore, he himself is limited by his own law. He cannot work in our lives. So first things first, we say. So the question is, what is first? God. And where do you show it? In your prayer closet. You get up, shut up everything, and you spend time with God. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, according to your timing. I'm not setting any time, depending upon who you are, where you work, what your exigencies are. But God has to come first. You have to shut down everything else. Shut down everything else. And over time, you will build a relationship with God. In building a relationship, there are two words which are very important in life. One is the word which is called love. The other is the word which is called faith, which is trust. Two words. Love is unconditional. God loves us unconditionally. But he doesn't trust us unconditionally. Trust has to be earned. Oh, Pastor Priest, I am so moved. Tomorrow morning you wake up at 4 in the morning, you spend half an hour worshiping and praying, and then Tuesday you are missing. Did he stop loving God? No. But God, can God trust you? No. So whether it is with God or with one another, we love unconditionally, but trust has to be earned. And trust is earned by keeping your word.
And the more trust is earned, the more God is able to trust you. So that's what he's looking for. One man. Not one man who woke up suddenly and stood in the gap. A man who's getting up and standing in the gap. Standing in the gap. That's a man called Elijah. That's why he suddenly comes into the picture. Out of the blue. No introduction given. I am Elijah. Who stand before God. Question is, how long have you been standing before God? For years and years and years. Crying for Israel. And God found this man. Who can be trusted. And God says, now you go stand there. I have the solution. You will speak. You are the man who will stand. And you will speak on my behalf. So this is what we are talking about. Disciplining ourselves in the things of the kingdom. And age is irrelevant. You look at any person in the Bible. Okay, let me ask you this question. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. What do you know about them? They were all praying people. Abraham prayed. Isaac prayed. Jacob prayed. Moses prayed. Moses only prayed. Elijah prayed. These people are not doing anything. These people are only praying. And history is changing. Why? Because God found a man. God found a man. Who prayed, heaven intervened, and history changed. So God says, don't be like them who wants to pray in public. Be like my men who prayed in private. You see, we read 1 Kings 17 about Elijah. But we don't know anything about Elijah's prayer life until the revelation comes through James. Thousands of years later. Then we realize, Areva, this was his hidden life. What do we know about his prayer? If those two verses were not in the epistle of James, we will not know about Elijah's prayer life. That it was his prayer life that changed history. Because he has went into his closet, shut the door. Shut the door. Understand that. The do's, it is based on a relationship, consistent relationship. You choose to spend time with certain people in your life, starting with God. You choose to spend, otherwise you will not build trust. You won't build trust. You have to, it's a choice. Because relationships are built on trust, not just love. God didn't say walk in love primarily. He said walk in faith. Walk in trust. Let your faith work through, or your love work through, or faith work through in love. We confuse these two things. These two things. And God is saying, can you be trusted? I haven't seen you in the prayer closet. I didn't see you this morning. So start. Set a time apart. According to your schedule, set that time apart and put it aside for God and start this practice. Shut the door behind. Because the other one, corporate prayer, is about agreement. Do you know something? When Jesus was on earth, because he's the only kingdom person on earth, everybody is outside the kingdom, including his disciples. You will never find in the entire four gospels Jesus praying with anybody. He prays alone. Because there is no power to agree. Even when he talks about the cross, the fellow closest to him, he says, I pray it will not happen. He says, get behind me, sit. How can I pray with you? Even on the last day, he said, pray for me. And he still went aside and prayed alone. So we need to learn from Jesus' life. This personal prayer life is a very important thing in a person's life. You cannot negotiate about those things. So when it comes to do, the first thing God says is, get in alone, shut the door. No distractions. No distractions. Shut it. Speak to me, hear from me. That's the first law. Did you get it? First principle. Second principle, 6:9. In this manner, therefore, pray. I told you, this is how you should pray. This is not a prayer. This is a format. This is not a prayer. This is a format. He says, this is how you should pray. Like I said,
All this has become religion, but Jesus brought no religion. He brought a kingdom, a king and a kingdom. So the word pray is not a religious word. The prayer is a kingdom word or a relationship word. If you read the Bible, you will see so many people telling each other, I pray thee, man to man. Somebody who's got authority. I pray thee. I pray thee. So it is a supplication or a petition. Old days now, we have become too far away from the old conservative culture. In our days, even when you wrote an application, the word pray was used. I pray thee, grant me a day's leave because I am not well. This pray was used. So what is prayer? It's not a religious word. Like faith is not a religious word. It's a relationship word. Can I trust you? Will you walk by faith? Which means I trust you and I don't see anything. I hear you and I will obey you and because I trust you. It's a relationship word. In the same word, prayer is not a religious word. It's a government word. We are making a petition. We go to the collector and say, Lord, we are a minority. We are so many people. We request, we pray thee that you grant us a land to bury our dead. You make a petition. Why? Because the collector is in charge of the land. So you don't go to anybody. You go to the people who have power and your request is according to thee. So what is prayer? It's a petition. It's a petition. But remember, all our petitions, you put a petition like that. The collector will take your petition and he will give it to his secretary and say, check the law. What does the law say? Check the rules of the government. And he will look through the government and says, yes, sir, in the last budget, the government has made provision for it. He says, okay, for further processing. If there is nothing in the law connected with that, immediately he will put a says rejected. There is no clause in the law. Every petition is like that. Every petition is like that. Any court you go, if you put a petition, it has to be sanctioned by law. Otherwise they will throw it out. So, this is the law. Last two Sundays back I said, will and testament. So when you make any petition, it should be within the boundaries of what God has spoken to man. This is not the whole will of God. This is the whole will of God for man in time. The other will of God, we don't know. But as far as human beings are concerned, until Jesus' kingdom comes a second time, this is the whole will of man. So if your petition is outside the boundaries of this, you will not get an answer. And I pray you don't get an answer. So this is the law. That is why we listen to the word of God. What is according to his law which the king has spoken, we call it a promise. And every promise is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Are you getting it? Understand how the kingdom works? So we need to ask this question. It is not a religious word. It's a government word. It's a legal term. We are making a supplication. We are making a petition. We are making a prayer. And what is bound by the will of God? So God also says, too complicated a book for you to understand. So if you go to court, usually we don't argue on our own. We have somebody we hire. Deepika is here. Where is Deepika? The lawyer is there. Then our other young man used to come. He's a lawyer. What is the lawyer there? What is the advocate there for? The advocate is to plead on our behalf. Because why? Because he knows the law. What is the law? There are two people sitting there. There's one person called the judge and there is another person called the lawyer. These people both know the law. Every judge was a lawyer. If you are not a lawyer, you cannot be a judge. Because lawyers write a particular exam to be appointed as judge. So the lawyer is a judge. So he knows the law. The judge knows the law. So in John 14 and verse 26, but the counselor, Let me ask you this question. What do we call an advocate in India? Lawyer. What do they call the advocate in US? Counselor. It's called a counselor. That's who he is. He lost the law because he wrote it. He says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. When you're going through situations, he will tell you the law. Because you need to pray. If you don't pray, heaven will not intervene in your case or anybody's case. But he knows the law. He knows the law. So don't just make your arguments. Rely on him. Rely on him. He is your counselor. Rely on him. 1 John 2:1. Read it. All of you, read together. What is sin? Breaking the law. What is sin? Breaking the law. So when you sin, the advocate inside says you have broken the law. You go and cry before God. The advocate there argues on your behalf. Did you see? It's an entirely legal format. Do you understand what prayer is? It's not religion. It's not religion. What is sin? Lawlessness. You broke the law. When you break the law, what happens? You know, suddenly you know you have broken the law. Why? Because the advocate, even if you don't know the law, the advocate will tell you you broke the law. That's why you have a sudden feeling of guilt. What did I do? Because the advocate is telling you did something. But what did I do? He will tell you. If you check, I will tell you what you did. You broke the law. What should I do? Go. You need mercy. You need mercy. And then, up there is another courtroom. The Father is seated. The judge of all flesh. And we have an advocate on earth in us. An advocate for us in heaven. Go to another portion in the Bible. Revelation 12, 7 to 10. War broke out in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. This hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen very soon in the future. Okay? We haven't reached that stage in the eschatological events. Okay? We haven't reached there yet. I don't even think the four horsemen have been released, but we are coming there very close. It's coming. Okay? So there is a time in the future this will happen. What will happen? They did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. When Satan broke the law, sin, he was cast out from God's heaven to the second heaven. He's still there, creating all this hangama. But when this battle happens, they will have no place in the heaven anymore. What will happen after that? Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with them. That is when Satan will come down to earth. Because now he has to be on earth. He cannot even stay there. That's where the Bible says, so when he comes down here, you will know the time. He has very little time. Time is set, 7 years. Now listen, who was the fellow who was cast out? Verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our, who accused them before our God day and night, has been. So presumption is, even now Satan has access to God. We saw it in the book of Job. And he brings his accusations. This one did that. You need to realize one thing. When Satan speaks to God, he speaks the truth and only the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Because you cannot lie there. So if he brings an accusation about any one of us, you can be absolutely sure it is 100% true. So we do not know what is actually happening. That's where the Holy Spirit says, ask for forgiveness. Don't hold it. Quickly, quickly run. Ask for forgiveness. Because the more you delay, the harder your heart becomes, and you're giving that fellow right to come after you. Because God is righteous. He's not appealing on anything. He's appealing based on God's righteousness.
And God wants to save you based on your love. So when you cry out and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I goofed up. I did that. God looks at Satan and says, what you said is true. But Jesus said, I paid the price. So God says, overruled. Your case is thrown out. This is what is happening. Instead, we play the fool over here. Nobody wants to pray. Everybody is depressed. Everybody is disgraced. God says, why don't you get in and pray? This is not religion. This is about my kingdom. My scepter of my throne, my kingdom is righteousness. You are fooling around with my righteousness. The devil knows I am righteous. All of the unseen realm knows I am righteous. But you come to me. Cry out for mercy. Because the blood of my son will restore you. If we confess, he is faithful. And the blood of Jesus cleanses of what? All unrighteousness. So you're reverted. So God declares you're righteous. And Satan loses his hold. Are we getting how it works? Because when we start understanding, we will understand why I should pray, how I should pray. That's the reason we pray. That's why God says in Luke 18:1, he says, men ought to always pray. And not lose heart. But there are things that are happening that he said you do not know. There's a time gap between there and here. What is happening there? You do not know. You keep on praying. Because we have a God who answers prayers. If you have doubts, go to Genesis 25. 20:21. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea and Rebekah conceived. Why did Rebekah conceive? Because Isaac prayed. Isaac prayed. The simple question is this. Does it sound sensible? Well, I didn't realize God is involved with pregnancies. That if you don't pray, your wife may not conceive. Think for a minute. If you don't pray, your wife may not conceive. His wife is not conceiving. So he prayed. Now we go to the next verse, which I gave. Afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When did he start praying? 40. How many years did he pray? 20. Why did he have to pray for 20 years? Because in the heavenly realm, there's a battle over the womb. Because that womb is going to change the destiny of this world. It's not an ordinary child she's going to conceive. And when she conceives, the battle begins right in the womb. Because what she's going to conceive is Israel. And out of Israel will come the Messiah. 20 years this man is praying without understanding what is happening. I don't know what is happening, but I can see in my mind's eye, the devil says, Lord, wait. Just give him 10 years. After that, he will stop praying and go his father's way. God says, you can try him out. 10 years, he didn't go his father's way. He said 11 years, try it. Ultimately, he will give in. 15 years. God said, okay, 15 years. I know that man. I know my man. He won't give up. He won't go his father's way. 20 years. God says, enough. Now, conceive. I'll give him double his father's time. Because his father waited 10 years and then created Ishmael through Hagar. God says, I will give Isaac double and I prove to you, Satan, that man will not go his father's way. He's a praying man. Because when it came to conception, I know the difference between Abraham and Isaac. Abraham never prayed. Isaac has been praying from the beginning. I've seen him in the closet. I see him in the closet. One man prayed and our history was changed. That man's prayer has affected all our lives. All our lives. Because from Jacob will come Judah. From Judah will come the clan of David. And from David's clan will come Christ. And here we are seated because one man chose to pray. Chose to pray. That's why God says men ought to always pray. Always pray. And never give up. Never give up. Always pray. Because we need to understand this is battle. This is battle. So God is not telling us. He told us first why we should pray. Now he's teaching us how we should pray, the do's and the don'ts. Do's and the don'ts. So, Matthew 6, 9. In this manner, so remember, he says, in this modern English, computer age, in this format. Okay. For IT people, for in this format, pray. How should you pray? Our Father.
He says, be careful. Relationship and purpose go together. Be very sure you are praying to your Father. Be very sure that you are a child of God. Our Father. Because the relationship is the foundation to purpose. People who do not have a relationship with God as Father do not have any eternal purpose in life. All their purpose is temporal.
So be careful. If you do not know him as Father, don't say Father. You can say all. Whenever I have to pray with unbelievers, so many times, countless times in all these years, whenever it is an unbeliever, I'm absolutely careful about my words. I will say Almighty God and my Heavenly Father to make the distinction. It's my Father, not your Father. But he's your Almighty God, whether you accept him or not, because one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess he is Lord. So whether you accept him or not, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day everybody will acknowledge. So God says, be very careful. So in John 11, 41 and 42, there is a Roman centurion. It's okay. There itself. Jesus, when Jesus is talking about, okay, Jesus, this is where I want to come. Okay, go back to John 11. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Where does the confidence come from? From a relationship. What solid confidence? Father, I thank you. Why? Because you have heard me. And do the next verse. And I know that you always hear me. You always hear, right? That you know. I have no other interest in life other than doing your will in life. Nothing else. I told you yesterday in the Q&A, I told many times, keep life simple. I've kept my life simple for 30 years. My God, my family, my church, no other interest. Absolutely no other interest. My God, my family, my spiritual family, no other interest. If I go to work, when I worked in the secular realm, I went to serve my God. Finished it, came back. No other interest. You can be very sure God will hear your prayers. We complicate our lives. We have so many other interests. The question is that God's interest? So he says, my Father, thank you that you heard me. I know you always hear me. Why? Why do you always hear me? John 6, 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's why you always hear me. Very simple. Our Father. 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 It's a very important word. The word has been taken out now. There's no father. It's only mother. Father is taken out. And mothers, be very careful. Your job in the home is to see the Father's will comes to pass. And the Father's job is to see Christ's will comes to pass. And Christ, you can be very sure, is very clear only his will come to pass. That's how the kingdom works. In the kingdom, there's only one will. It's the will of the Father. And he showed us the way. This is what prayer is all about. Otherwise we'll waste our time and our life. Because Father is a relationship term. In Matthew 8, 5 and 6, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. He's a Gentile. He has no relationship with the living God. But he comes and says, Lord, what did he say? Lord, my servant. Jesus said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I'll come with you. Because your title, your address is correct. I'm Lord. You accepted my Lordship? Fine. I'll come and heal your servant. Case 2, Matthew 15. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. Why? Sambodhana galat hai. Your address is wrong. What did you call me? Son of David? Who are you to call me son of David? You don't belong to the tribe of David. You're not an Israelite. And a child is demon possessed. Meaning if you get your address wrong, you will not get your answer. Even if it is critical. Because the kingdom works like that. You go to the high court, lawyers are sitting over here. You go to the high court or supreme court and call him, sir. My lord, your lordship. That's why they have given those thrones. They're not ordinary chairs. Your address is wrong. He didn't answer a word. The most compassionate God in the flesh, full of grace, full of truth, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of love. Didn't say a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And according to her address, he gave the reason. He said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she is not part of it. Then she corrected herself. Next verse. She came to him, worshipped and said, Lord, help me. And he helped her. So he says, this is how you need to address. Abba. It's a relationship term. Daddy. Come every day. Get into your closet, your bathroom, wherever you get your privacy. It is irrelevant. Shut the door and come to me and say, Daddy. Daddy. Our Father. Daddy. Did you get it? Go back to 6:9. We'll only look at two words in the format today. Only two words in the format. The whole format, only two words. Go back again. This is how we ought to pray. How should we pray? Loudly. Our. You are a community. You are a kingdom. You are a family. You read the entire Lord's Prayer. What is this? Our. Us. There is no me and I there. This is a family. This is a kingdom. He says, don't you come to me with your needs first. Don't come to me with your needs first because I don't like selfish people in the home. Come with other requests or all requests. Let me ask you this question. Today we had a song. We had that song about breaking. What was that song? Breakthrough, breakthrough, break. How did you pray? Did you actually pray? I put everybody's name in that. Breakthrough for Ace. Breakthrough for Archie. Breakthrough for Hamid. Breakthrough, breakthrough for Penny. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. I was not putting myself. Because I know that's how the law works. Breakthrough, breakthrough for them. Breakthrough, Lord. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough for these people, Lord. Breakthrough, you know them. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Instead, we'll pray, breakthrough for me, Lord. Breakthrough. He said, you will never experience your breakthrough. Our. It's a community. It's a kingdom. It's a family. Do you know the first time a man prays in the Bible, what is it recorded? Genesis 20 and verse 17. And Abraham prayed to God and God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female servants, and they bore children. Did you see that? First time. You pray, I will heal. He prayed for somebody else. And even he was praying somebody else, later he will realize, what a buddhu I am. I should have prayed earlier for why my wife to get pregnant. Instead everybody else's wives are getting pregnant, mine I never thought he could pray and she would get pregnant. Instead I created Ishmael. He's praying for somebody. First time prayer is recorded in the Bible about a man praying. He's not praying for himself. He's not praying for his family. He's praying for somebody else's family. You need more proof, because out of two witnesses, everything shall be established. The man who lost everything and the man who recovered everything, Job 42, 7 and 8 and then 10. So it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job. The Lord said to Eliphaz the termite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Look at verse 8. Therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls, 7 rams. Go to my servant Job. Offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not. He says, he will pray for you. Now look at verse 10. It's interesting. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Whose losses? His losses. What he had to do? Pray for his? Okay. Today, start praying for others. He will restore your losses. Stop praying for yourself. Me, mine, myself. Understand how the kingdom works. There's a verse in the scripture. He who refreshes others will be refreshed himself. That's how the kingdom works. This is the kingdom. You look at all these people in the Bible who prays. Who is Moses praying for? I keep telling you, there's only one prayer Moses prayed for himself. What is, Lord? These are your people. So if I found grace in your sight, show me thy ways that I can take them from point A to point B. That's his only prayer. Every other prayer is for others. Lord, please don't. Or please do. Lord, please don't. Please, he's never praying for himself. Elijah. Nehemiah. Daniel. All these people are only praying for others. And they are fully satisfied. Because God adds to their lives. Change your prayer format. Don't pray like pagans. Me, my wife, my child, my dog, we four, and no more. Acts 2:4. Acts 2:4, V4, and no more. No. That is not how the kingdom works. And we need to always pray and never give up. Okay. So come, let's go to the table. Remember what this table is. Okay. Today the table is a little like the table in Corinthians 11 because the wine is a little strong. So just sip it. Okay. In the Corinthians chapter 11, there was some issue with the wine they served there. It's okay, a little fermented, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. That's why I thought we should have given this in the beginning. Communion. But I was worried you would fall asleep. Come, come, quickly, quickly. Leaders.
Safely to us. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Father, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for adding another day, another month into our lives, Lord. Thank you, Father. We have heard, Father, today about prayer. We understand why we receive mercy, why our petitions are heard only because of the blood your Son shed for our behalf. Because in the Holy of Holies, it's your blood, Jesus, that speaks for us. Because if your blood does not speak, we are without hope. We are without an answer. We are doomed. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, because in the courtroom, everything is based on your blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood that even now, as each one confesses, can cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We come to your throne room. We plead for mercy. Mercy, 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 Lord. The things we should not have done, we have done. The things which we should have done, we did not do. We need mercy, Lord. If you were to recount, it would be too many. But Lord, we come to our Father and we say, "Father, have mercy, 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 Lord." That today, as we partake of the emblems of your body and your blood, that we will be healed. We will be strengthened and we will be quickened in our inner man to seek, to know and work out the purpose of God in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. As we close, let me tell you why prayer is so important. And why God looks for a man or a woman or a child who will stand in the gap for others. Everybody prays for themselves. That's common in every religion, every community. But those who stand in the gap and intercede for others is a rarity. And that's what God is looking for. That is how you bring the kingdom into wherever you are. It is through prayer. It is through prayer. Okay. It is through prayer you understand what the kingdom is. It's in your prayer closet and through the word you discover. Because what God is doing, he's restoring. His first job was to reconcile us back to God, our Father. And Father is not just a relationship term. It is a government term. He's the head. The head of the woman is man. The head of man is Christ. The head of Christ is God, the Father. So it's a governmental term. So when you say our Father, you're going to the highest authority in the universe from whom everything flows. So this term Father is not a simple word. If you go to James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from whom? The Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning." Which means that he never lies. There's no shadow. You don't have to doubt. If he has said something, you can go to the bank with it. His word is his bond. And he is the Father of lights. Everything comes from him. So God says, this is how you need to pray. It's not as a relationship term. It's a government term. He is the king. He is the ultimate king. You know, by the time Revelation 21 comes to pass,
Son will submit the kingdom to the Father, and the Father starts ruling. Right now it is Jesus is ruling. Father is not intervening in anything. If Jesus is ruling until his enemies come, are put under his feet, then he will hand it over to the Father. So God said, this is how you need to pray. This is how you need to pray. And understand what Christ is doing. Don't get in this rat race in this world. Ultimately, you'll end up ruining your life. Running after working two jobs, late night, early morning. You have no strength to listen to a word. God said, that's not how my people live. You're not supposed to live like that. You're kingdom people. Your Father owns everything. You're supposed to be seeking the kingdom and my righteousness first. And all the things you need, I will add. And most people are crippled by fear. It's fear that stops you. And faith and fear cannot exist in the same heart. So you have to step out in faith. And consistently step out in faith. And you suddenly see the power of this kingdom, how it works. Because that's how Jesus lived before us and showed. If you have doubts, look at Genesis 1:26. First is reconciliation. Then is 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Okay? This is God's proclamation over man in the beginning. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them have dominion over what? The fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. He says, I will restore dominion. And he walked in dominion. Please don't get wrong with the dominion theology that's going around. And I'm not talking about that. But I do believe a part of it is that if in God's purpose, that is part of God's purpose, like those greats, I forgot his name, I think D.L. Moody and all, who had to, was sent by God for a meeting, and the captain of the ship came and said, we will not be able to move forward because it's thick fog, we can't see anything. He said, no, you will reach. He said, how? Because my God said, the fog will move. He went down, he prayed, come up, the fog had left. Okay, this is exercising dominion for the kingdom, not to show off or anything. So the first thing mentioned over there is what? Fish. You want to see? Go to Luke chapter 5. The first miracle of Jesus recorded, other than casting out demons and healing, the first recorded. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And verse 6, when they had done this, they caught. Why? He was exercising dominion. He was saying, move to that net. All of you. Move to that net. Move to the net. Now this is what is going to happen when Jesus comes a second time and the kingdom is established on earth. You want to see? Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, the first four verses are talking about Jesus' first coming. Subsequently, it is talking about the second coming. This is, with righteousness he shall judge the poor, decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. All this is second coming. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, faithfulness the belt of his waist. Now look, the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Dominion is restored. Is restored. Then even the children will walk like kings, and the animals will not harm them, will listen to them. Read further. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play in the cobra's hole. Nursing child. Toddler, 6 months, 7 months, only crawls, but is playing in the cobra's. Nothing will harm him. Why? Dominion has been restored. Dominion has been restored. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. So this is not fiction. This is what is coming. And God says, in your own situations where I have placed you, no purpose, and you will exercise dominion through prayer. You are trying to reconcile. You are trying to win people. You are the only people over whom we have not given dominion is over people. They have not been given dominion over people.
Please understand, the problem is when man fell, what is he trying to do is, he's dominating man. He says, that was not allowed. That was not allowed. So understand how it works. Everywhere, all of you work. You need to understand. You are where God wants you right now. Tomorrow when you go to work, say, Lord, I got it wrong. I was going to work and I'm working for a salary. But Lord, not from today. Anoint me, Lord. Let me be a witness like Joseph. I want you with me. I want you with me. I'm not here for a salary. I'm not here for a salary. Because you said, all I need if I know purpose, you will add. I'm not talking theology, because this has been my experience every time, especially when I was in the secular realm, when I worked. The last time I worked in the secular realm was almost 24 years ago, but I still remember how it was. I was the last to join. I was the first to leave, because I had gone for purpose. Purpose. And I knew how I worked every day. It was this morning till evening, then night with the underground church. And I still remember when my purpose was over, it was time for me to leave. I wrote my resignation letter, went to my principal and gave it to him and said, sir, you relieve me on December the 6th. He said, sir, December the 6th? I said, yes. He said, sir, the academic year finishes only December 21st. You leave on 21st. I said, I need to go on 6th. Sir, do you know what happens if you leave on 6th? I said, what happens? He said, you will lose December's salary. You will January vacation salary, February salary, March salary. You will leave 4 months salary. That's a huge amount because my salary was good. I said, it doesn't matter. He said, why 6? I said, it's my daughter's birthday. And I promised her I'll be there for her birthday. And I'm going back on 6th. Sir, 4 months? Sir, do one thing, sir. Resign on. He's pleading with me. Leave on 21st. Come back on March 1st. And then give your resignation. You won't lose anything. I said, it is okay. It's okay. He very reluctantly took my resignation letter. It's a private college. And the one who owned the private college was the finance minister's son. And the first time in their history, and as far as I've understood, the only time in their history, he called me home for dinner. And I alone, and he served me with his own hands, and he said, sir, I want to thank you for coming and helping my institution. And he gave me a gift, a Yakult, big rug and everything. And the next day when I went back to college, my principal said, the management, the honor said, give sir all his salary. He has personally signed saying that December, January, February, March, everything give it to him. You never have to fear of losing with the king. With the king. But you need to know what you are there for. You need to know what you are there for. I was not there for a salary. I was there for a purpose. And I was, if you look at it, in a week, I take around 13 to 15 meetings with the church for 2 years. So you can count how many meetings along with teaching in the college. But from the church, you can go back and ask. That's why they trust me, even till today. Last meeting when I went, there were pastors and so many pastors. They came and hugged me and said, Pastor, we have heard your voice. Today we have seen you. Not 1 rupee did I take from the church. 1 rupee. They said, can we give you? I said, no. Can we pay your rent? I said, no. Can we pay your telephone bill? I said, no. Why? Because I have a salary. And the reason was that he told me from the book of Acts, I've sent you to a foreign country. Work with your hands, take nothing from them. So my testimony in you shall be proved true. And I had 3 sisters in the church, all well-to-do. One ran her own tourist agency, had pots of money. One worked in the UNICEF. 3 of them, one was connected to the royal family. They had pots of money. I lived in my own little place, slept on the floor. That is how I lived those 2 years. One day I look and have these 3 senior ladies standing outside my door. I looked at them and I said, I have only 2 chairs. You can sit. Third one will have to sit on the ledge. And they were carrying buckets of provision because our pastor won't take anything. We feel bad. Do you believe the kingdom works? It does work. Tuesday I was telling the pastors, because everybody is scared. So
said, in my life, I had 4 scooters and 4 cars. I didn't buy any. Never bought a vehicle in my life. It was always paid for. Never bought hardly anything in my life. All bought for. Was right in the beginning, learned a lesson. The kingdom works. Either he's true or he's a liar. And he's true. That's why I'm saying, stay where you are, work where you are, but don't work for a salary. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to step out. And you will suddenly realize, wow, how powerful is this kingdom. That's why the Bible says the kingdom is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Because everybody sitting here, your fear is a fear of provision. Fear of provision. When Jesus put back 6:33, Matthew 6:33, put it back on the screen and look at that one word over there, 6:33, all. When God says all, he means all. When God says all, he means all. All these things. All these things. What pagans run after. What nations run after. I will add, don't be like them. Because if you look like them, you are in the kingdom, but you will miss your purpose, you will miss eternity, your rewards in eternity. You will miss it all. Your rewards are for those who run according to purpose. And don't be afraid. Remember the first time when Jesus rebukes them, he says, oh, you of little faith, why were you afraid? That's what fear does. Fear does. Tomorrow, every student sitting here, every adult who is working, tomorrow, ask God, Lord, Lord, anoint me for your purpose. I want to be your person in that office. Let me be a vessel of reconciling, reconciling. I told yesterday, last night, 3 things. Let them see my walk. Let them see my work. And when I open my mouth, let them hear my words. That's your testimony. My walk, my work, my words. Everybody saw Joseph's walk. Everybody saw his work. When he opened his mouth, they heard his words. He brought always heaven in. When he opened his mouth, he told Mrs. Potiphar, heaven. He told the other two people, why are you so scared about your dreams? Because there is a God in heaven who interprets dreams. When he opened his mouth, his words brought heaven into the picture. When he stood before Pharaoh, he brought heaven into the picture. These are paradigms put there for our sakes, so that we don't just waste our time and life away. We are not in competition with anybody. We are just running our own race. Don't even compare your work with anybody's. Let God do that. Let God do that. That is God's business, not our business. Don't try to imitate somebody's work. Don't do that. If Joshua tries to imitate Moses, Israel will not move 1 inch forward, because God didn't do one thing through Joseph, through Joshua, the way he did through Moses. It is absolutely different, but both were men of God. Don't make these mistakes, because in the world we try to imitate. Imitate people's faith, but don't imitate people's works. Don't. Let God do the work through you. So this morning we will stand up. We'll thank God, we'll praise God, we will worship God. 3rd month is here. 9 months are still there ahead of us. And ask God always to bless the work of your hands. All of you have little works. Say, Lord, bless the work of your hands. Even little things which you are making. No, you make, you sell things. It's an awesome thing. Pray over your food. Lord, I am selling it. Let an anointing rest upon it. That the one who partakes of it will realize there is more than taste in this. Or maybe a little hairband. The child who doesn't know God, the father, mother who doesn't know God, when it puts over there, my child stops her tantrum. Why? Because there is an anointing resting on the band. When Peter's shadow fell, anointing rests on something that is not material. How much more can anointing rest on something that is material? Believe. Believe, believe. Because in the kingdom, everything works under the anointing. and believe for that. Tomorrow when I go to work, I go as an anointed servant, Lord. Give me grace in your sight. Not only it breaks yokes, it teaches things. It does things. Anointing does. Father, this morning we stand before you as your blood-bought children. And we have come to our Father. Our Father. The head of the government that rules over everything. And I pray, Father, as we go forward this month, we don't know what this month holds. We don't need to know what the month holds because our Father has already seen the end from the beginning. Therefore, we can walk fearlessly. I pray, Lord, as we walk, you will show us each one their purpose. And as they fulfill the purpose, everything that is needed for life, you will add to our lives. It is your promise. It is your promise. Everyone standing here, young and old, you said you will add. We believe you, Father, because if you did not spare your only begotten Son, how much more with him, he will give us all things that pertain to this life. We just thank you, Father. We just want to bless your holy name. We just want to bless your holy name. We just want to bless your holy name to say, Father, we are so grateful that you made us your children. We could have never done it on our own. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Once again, standing in your house, we want to declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each one of us. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah.